Hello and welcome to Pawn Jumpers, the international podcast for open source developers. This is episode 3, interview with Andy Clement about the Groovier Clips, recorded August 2nd, 2009. Hello, I'm Greg Turquist from Harris Corporation.
And I'm Russ Miles from Open Credo in the UK.
Hi, and welcome to this is a very special breaking news edition of Pawn Jumpers. Today we have with us Eclipse guru and Spring Sorcerer Andy Clement, and I think it's very fair to say that we're honored to have you here, especially given how busy you've probably been recently with this new release. This is a very interesting and exciting thing that you managed to bring out here recently.
Yeah, hi guys, from another sunny day in Vancouver. It is exciting times. You're lucky you could get me. But you're particularly lucky you could get me at this time of Sunday morning.
Well, we're very appreciative, Andy. I for one, know how difficult it can be to get up in the morning, but with these very small, childlike alarm clocks, it can get a bit easier.
Yeah, she went off with plenty of time to spare.
Very cool. So tell us a bit about what's been happening recently. I know this is a breaking news edition, but I suppose we're a couple of days behind Twitter. So, and do you want to tell us what you've been up to recently?
Yeah, I thought my Twitter client was going to explode on Thursday when I did the release. I'd been, a couple of months ago, I wrote an article about how I'd been having trouble with the Groovy Clips plugin that existed and was trying something with JDT. And I put... And I got more comments on that than any post I'd previously put on this blog. And I thought, people want something in this space. So this week, we've been working towards releasing the first public version of the new Groovy Eclipse plugin that people can download and try. We've also delivered the code into the Codehouse repo so that the existing committers can start playing with that. Unlike the old version, this one uses brand new compiler technology. So I've seamlessly joined together Eclipse JDT and the Groovy compiler. This is in contrast to the old plugin, which tried to do, they call it joint compilation, and it's where the two compilers are considered separate but try to work together to build a code base. And you can get into a chicken and egg situation there with, oh, like I can't build until that's built, and vice versa. But in the new world, Eclipse JDT in charge, delegating to Groovy when it wants to, it works great. It works great.
That's I've been using it since the announcement. Is this a movement onwards of the existing code base that the community was already working on, or is this something that is completely new and fresh?
We didn't want to produce a competitor for what they were doing. That would make no sense. If we get those guys on side and just drive it all forward together, that's the best way to do it. So I've reworked the very core piece, the underlying compiler technology. And then the other guy working on it with me in Vancouver has done the job to bring across the features, the existing plugin, because some good code in there on the features like type inferencing, and he's rebased that on my new compiler. And what we have here is the first release of the new compiler with all the plugins pushed across on top of it.
Cool. So how big's the team now working on this? Because I know you guys are super productive in Vancouver. I don't know if it's the weather or it's just being around such great people, but I do know that you guys have been super productive. So how big's the team behind the Groovy side of things, and how much of your time do you get to spend on it?
There's the existing committed team, which is, I think it's 4 or 5 guys, and we've got those guys on board now. But in terms of Spring Source resource, in Vancouver, we're quite small. There's me and there's somebody else. There's 2 of us. I do the lower level components, and then Andrew Eisenberg, who works with me, does a great job on the UI components. I'm not very good on Eclipse UI programming. If you show me more than one thread, I tend to freak out. So I stick to a low level, and that is the approach we took with AspectJ and AJT, the other projects we work on. I work on the compiler, and he makes it all look nice in the UI, and we're doing a similar model here. I would say it's been heads down for the last, since my blog article became apparent that people desperately needed something in this space, we have been heads down trying to create it. So I haven't really worked on things I should do, a bit behind on my timesheets. But finally, I feel like the weight has been lifted, it's out there, people can try it, and luckily it seems to be getting a very good reception so far.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, for all those folks that are keen to go grab the plugin now, what do they need to have regarding Eclipse versions or Groovy versions, and what can they be expecting from the plugin?
Well, it is quite specific. Because we make changes to the Eclipse JDT compiler, part of the download is a patch to the compiler. So we need you to have a specific version of Eclipse. But we're not unreasonable. We pick very stable, robust versions that are out there. So on Thursday, what you needed was Eclipse 3.4.2 or some Eclipse bundling like SDS or something that is based on 3.4.2, because that had the right level of compiler in. And then you just point it to the update site, and that will pull down everything you need. You'll pick up the patch for JDT, you'll pick up a copy of Groovy. We went with Groovy 1.7. In hindsight, we perhaps should have stuck with the 1.6 line, because that's more stable at the moment. We might go back to that by our final release. The longer-term goal would be that a user can drop in any version of Groovy they want to work in there, but we're not quite there yet. But then I had so many tweets and retweets saying, yeah, that's great, but I'll try it when it's on 3.5. And I thought, this is so critical that we put it out on 3.5. I mean, it was on 3.4 because that was the version that was current that when we started. But so many requests for 3.5 that I just dropped everything else and thought, we need 3.5 now. I started migrating the compiler changes across because those were the most critical piece. And we were saved a little bit because there's very little change in Eclipse JDT compiling at the moment. There's no new version of Java. There's no reason for it to change a lot. So it wasn't a big porting effort to move those changes to 3.5. And so by the end of Friday, we had a version on Eclipse 3.5. Both update sites are linked on the blog article. So you can just install it and get going. There's nothing else you need.
Oh, wow. I missed the update for 3.5. That's fantastic.
Well, I was quite cunning there because I wanted to have it. So many people wanted it, but I wanted to only slowly release it so that if something catastrophic proved to be a problem, I could just pretend it never happened. So initially, I only put the update site on Twitter and in a comment on the blog article, not in the blog itself. But we've had validation that it works really well. So I put it as a headline on the blog article, 3.5 is available.
Marvelous. That's brilliant work. Brilliant work. So you mentioned that Groovy 1.7 was the sort of baseline that you aim for. And you mentioned that you might move back to 1.6. You're not sure yet. What sort of things are people reporting and saying, actually, that needs to be? Is there any big tickets that people need to be aware of before they jump on? Well, it's essentially quite a new release, a bit rough around the edges kind of release.
Rough around the edges, actually. I'm pretty pleased. I mean, the most serious bugs that came in over the first day or so was I can't get syntax highlighting to work. If that is the worst thing that happens on this release, I'll be very, very pleased.
Actually, to be fair, the reason I'm probably being a little nasty is I had that bug. I think that's where I'm coming from. Okay, so that's a known thing, right? And is that something that's relatively trivial to fix in it, or is it just something that's...
Well, usually it means that the file got opened in the wrong editor, and you have to open it in the Groovy editor. For some reason, it's not always defaulting to opening Groovy files with the Groovy editor.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All you have to do is the preference.
But, okay. I'm pretty sure I checked. I did test it, so make sure it's open in the Groovy editor, but I can go back and check. It could be a classic case of PEPCAC, and I'm willing to take that.
I do want to set some people's expectations here. I mean, it does say alpha all over the article, but from my point of view, it's the UI that's more alpha than the compiler. So anyone who's put off from trying it just because it's got the word alpha on it, because they're worried it won't actually produce bytecode, they should give it a go, because I understand that you can install a plugin and in Eclipse, if the UI is a bit flaky, it's okay. I mean, if the code assist sometimes doesn't give you quite the suggestion you thought about, or if organize imports didn't quite do the right thing, you can work with that. But if the compiler does the wrong thing, the tool is completely useless.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Even in the alpha release, the compiler is robust enough for all the code bases I've thrown at it. I've tried to find existing mixed code bases, so I've gone for Gantt, GroovyC, Grails, and they all build just fine. So I would urge anyone, just give it a try.
So certainly in terms from the building side of things, I've had no issues whatsoever. I was just one of these people that
they my syntax highlighting because I was doing a demo at work. But they
now, something that draws my attention, something that I was really captivated by in reading your blog article was when you described sort of the architecture of how you were solving the problem, how you were plugging into the AST.
Yeah.
And being able to delegate when appropriate to Groovy. And to me, you know, part of my background has been in compiler construction, and you know, I immediately was seeing the potential to plug in, you know, other languages, Scala, Clojure, you know, other JVM based languages that would be able to, you know, use the same architectural approach and make it much easier to have joint compilation across multiple languages. Is that part of your decision and how to link the compilers together?
I'd say I'm very lucky with Groovy, because I talked to Jochen, the tech guy, and it became apparent that it was a really good fit. I mean, that the way they progress files through what they call phases as they're building them, it worked really well with JDT, which had its own concept of phases, but I could tell Groovy, well, go to a similar phase and then go to a similar phase, and I could drive them together. I do think for some compilers that are a bit more closed, it would be much more difficult. When I started it, I wouldn't say I was saying, right, let's get Groovy in today, let's get Clojure in tomorrow, and Scala by the end of the week. I was more making changes to Eclipse, trying to be language agnostic in them, with the view that they were more likely to take patches on Eclipse JDT. If I say, well, can you open up this a bit like this so that I can plug something in? Rather than saying, I need this Groovy change in here, because they're much less likely to take that. So I haven't explicitly said that other languages will plug in, but a lot of people have taken that view, and I think it's true. Some of them will. I would like to look at whether Clojure would fit in, but I might hit a stumbling block straight away with something as Groovy does, because Groovy was kind of built to work well with Java, and that really surfaces in the way I can make them work together.
Cool. Very cool. So you mentioned there, Andy, the building the Grails code base, and I mean, that's a good test for any compilation. But I'm a massive Grails fan anyway. And are there any features on the horizon that's going to make the Groovy, and maybe eventually a proper Groovy and Grails plugin that I should be aware of? Because I haven't used it much in terms of Groovy and Grails development, apart from the ability to work my Groovy code much nicer than I was. But I wonder if there's anything that can really, you know, supercharge my Grails development inside the IDE too.
I will say there will be. At the moment, because the team is small, we really want to create a polished Groovy experience. I think I've learned a lot from AspectJ and AJDT integrations that you really have to nail the basics. You have to get incremental compilation working. You have to get navigation code assist working, because people expect it as there by default because of the quality of JDT. So only once those features are nailed completely will we look at what to do in Grail space. But I think you can look at, we'll do things like some integrated plugin management, make it easy to deploy to ranges of different environments. But it's hard to be more specific than that. If I had a time frame, I think we'll have something in the Grail space by the end of the year. I would urge yourself or any other users to either contribute feature requests or use cases into our JIRAs so that we know the kinds of, know where to focus our efforts on that.
Fantastic. I mean, that leads me to another question. I mean, you mentioned you're a small team, and a small team needs a big community around it to achieve the sorts of things you guys obviously and clearly are. How big is the community out there in terms of the feedback you're getting? I mean, I know it's only been a short release of this evolution Groovy plugin, but is there already a lot of buzz on the JIRAs and some feedback coming through?
There's a lot on Twitter, but I do find Twitter's a very awkward place to do any kind of handling of service requests. 140 characters, it's very difficult for me to diagnose.
I can imagine. Can you give me a code snippet and just that?
That has happened already. We've had, what was it, about 10-15 JIRAs so far, and in the UI space they're exactly where I thought they'd be. And we've had some, I was interested in people who might do something with generics, because the generics where you bring Java and Groovy together in generics, so you have a list of, in your Java code you have a list of some type that's Groovy. When you start mixing them to that degree, I knew that was a little bit risky, and we've had some guys already stressing that barrier. And they found a couple of issues. They found the first compiler bug, which annoyed me, but that's already
fixed. Sound like a very proud man, Andy. I can understand that.
I read an article, I think it was by Kent Beck last week, on his one of his testing frameworks, and it said, if you're not embarrassed, then you release too late. I thought, well, I can go. I put this thinking, it's got a few glitches here and there. Is anyone going to find them? And this guy found them. But it, also, he wrote a very positive blog article already about this code. He said it's got a few warts, but it's already at least as good as the older plugin in terms of experience. So that's good news.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it's fantastic where if you can actually release something, people actually use it and send you back either spotted bugs or even patches. I mean, that's really a positive community feedback thing, and I've learned to welcome that quickly versus the classic, oh, I don't like this, I'm just not going to use it kind of approach.
I mean, that's why I had to get this compiler pretty solid out of the box. I didn't want people trying it and going, well, this is hopeless, it's worse than the previous thing, and uninstalling straight away and not giving us another chance. So I wanted that compiler to be robust from the start.
Did you find any of the experience you've had, Andy, with the AJDT tools? And you say you do most of the under-the-skin stuff in there as well. Is there much of that experience that you brought across? Obviously, the AJDT tools are the tool set that pretty much sets the standard for what a really great set of plugins to Eclipse should do. Did you find that supercharged what you could do in terms of the Groovy plugin as well?
I would say a lot of experiences from that have been brought across from a complete range of, one example is how we manage the patches on JDT, because on AspectJ we also patch the compiler, and over the years I've learned how to do that so that it's not a complete nightmare when you migrate to the new version. And that paid off because I ported the Groovy changes to 3.5 in an hour because of how I was managing the process. And then at a higher level, there's some features of AJDT that have taken us years to get going. Incremental compilation, something trivial like multiple source output folder management. Those are features that people wanted from the start, and they took us forever because of the approach we took. So when it came to Groovy, I said, well, why build all this duplicate functionality? Why not just let Eclipse JDT manage all of that nonsense? And then we can just piggyback off it and plug in Groovy, the Groovy compiler, and it can do what it's good at, which is compile Groovy code. So that is why in the alpha, I did nothing at all, and I had multiple input-output folders working and incremental compilation with a slight bit of work. So a lot of what we did with AJDT has paid off here.
Now, that's a wonderful reflection on the power of JVM-based languages in my book. I think that really shows that, you know, by working from a common, you know, class file-based thing, it just, you know, has an incredible reuse factor.
I have a secondary question for you, Andy, actually, because I'm a big fan of AJDT anyway, and AspectJ generally. There's a few interesting facets to using AspectJ alongside Groovy Code. Are you guys involved in anything there to move AspectJ into a happier place, maybe with Groovy?
I would say I need a very good use case in order to start that piece of work. AspectJ is a bytecode weaver, and it works by surfacing patterns that exist in the bytecode. And the bytecode that Groovy creates is very, very different to what you would get for the same piece of Java. And so we would have to remap all the Groovy bytecode onto these same AspectJ concepts. That is not a trivial piece of work. It could be done. It could be done.
Good answer.
we have a similar situation with Scala, actually. We can't weave Scala code at the moment because of we rely on patterns in the bytecode that your typical Java compiler creates. A bit like decompilers also rely on a pattern in the bytecode in order to reflect some bytecode entity in the correct source code. And if you violate those patterns, weavers and decompilers tend to break. And Scala does some stuff where it generates, it's perfectly valid bytecode, there's nothing wrong with it, but because it doesn't conform to the patterns, it crashes the weaver. So getting AspectJ to work with all these different languages would be a challenge.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Can you share with us any of the future plans for some of the other Spring Source Dual Suite plugins?
you know, I mean, I share an office with the guys who work on STS, but I've been so heads down, I'm not quite as up to speed as I'd like to be on that. For STS, we are working towards the 2.1 release. That's going to be out this week, I think. And I think because the Groovy support has got such good press, we're going to do bundles of STS that include Groovy in the box.
Fantastic.
That is a big deal. I mean, we are patching JDT here, and it would be so easy to make a mistake and damage how it builds Java code, and we'd lose an awful lot of respect if that happened. So that release is going to be out this week. Really, the focus for STS at the moment is building support around what's coming in Spring Framework 3 and the other Spring Source projects like Spring Batch. So, oh, that reminds me, I was supposed to do some work there because also this year I wrote this the Spring Expression language for a Spring Framework. It's something else I created. I'm supposed to do some UI work to help with code completion.
Oh, marvelous. So tell us a little bit about the Spring Expression language whilst we're here. I mean, that's an exciting facet of the new Spring 3. I think it's also not totally unexplored, but it's probably one of those things that's coming under the radar a bit for a large proportion of the regular user community. So what's the elevator pitch for expression language in there?
It's our own version of Argonaut, I'd say. There you go. That was a short elevator ride.
It was one floor.
We wanted to have control of what we could do with the expression language and build in some features specific to what you can do in Spring. And so quite quietly, the expression language has gone in there. You can use it in your application context. We were using it in Spring MVC. Just to do some binding and formatting. It's very simplistic at the moment. I mean, I don't think it does as much as Argonaut. I had an early version that did, but I got told to strip it back because it had some really way out stuff in there. I think it sounds like operator, but it's a well-known algorithm comparing whether two strings sound the same. And I took that out. It was so corner use case. I took it out.
It's nice though. I like that's the sort of thing that gets a lot of people quite excited. I can see why it's probably not, you know, the majority.
Not like that, but I took it out.
I know the guys working on writing the Spring in a Nutshell book will be very glad that it's relatively boxed and not going to be changing too much because it's already a slightly moving target to follow.
I mean, for a while it was an Antler-based parser, and so it was very easy to rev the grammar as we added and removed features. But we had a lot of people complaining that they couldn't use Spring Framework because it had a dependence on a particular version of Antler that their other tools didn't support. So for the 50th time this year, I had to write a handwritten parser for some language.
Oh,
so many.
No.
Oh, that's a lot of fun, I know. I can imagine that.
It's handwritten, so that's not changing anymore.
I guess from the writing perspective, that's what people want to hear. But that brings up an interesting point. So some of the dependencies there were a big challenge for when you were creating your language. So you must be pretty much the premier language parser guy at the moment in Spring Source and working on these plugins. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, I'd say I'm
fair enough.
Human answer.
Because you worked on the expression language on the Spring for .NET as well, haven't you?
I've consulted with them on it, I think. Yeah, and we stole some ideas from their stuff because they were there first. But also this year I've done parsers for, in DM Server, I've done very, very optimal parser for the OSGI header manifest entries.
Very
good. Some other parsers for the bundler tool for creating OSGI bundle manifest that are correct out of the box.
Very cool. So, I mean, is there any plans for integration between the Groovy plugin and some of these other Spring Source Tool Suite plugins, like the sort of support for OSGI, the support for, or does this already work anyway? It's just a matter of how you make it work.
I think there is some work to do there, but I do think we don't know precisely the shape of it yet. As I said before, we really need this tool support to be just works. It's there out the box, and then people can start exploring the spaces where these things interact.
Very cool. Okay, do you have any more questions, Greg?
Well, I could just throw in one thing is if you do have a chance to talk to the STS guys, you can tell them Spring Python support's also would be a nicely received item.
I would say if you haven't, then raise some feature requests and usage scenarios on their Jira, because that's really what STS is about. It's driven by what the users want. And if there's enough demand for it, it'll make it into plan.
That's a beautiful phrase for the end of the interview. Thank you so much, Andy, for spending some time on your Sunday to give us this interview. It has been a breaking set of news, and I think we've heard even more depth on what's happening in the plugins, and I, for one, are even more excited to figure out exactly what I'm doing wrong when I'm using them, because they obviously are phenomenal. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it very much. Pond Jumpers would like to thank the Skype call recorder team, who's made it easy to record Skype phone calls. Please send us any feedback or contact us about any potential interviews. We love talking about anything open source. Visit our webpage at pondjumpers.com, or send us a message through our contact form, or simply email us at contact@pondjumpers.com. All writings and recordings produced by Pond Jumpers are published through a Creative Commons license and copyrighted by Greg Turquist and Russ Miles. The content of this podcast and website does not represent any of the companies mentioned nor their opinions. The intro and exit music is the upbeat rock song Sweet Romana, and purchased from opuzz.com, the site for royalty-free production music.
Working from both sides of the pond, the Pond Jumpers are Greg Turnquist and Russ Miles.